Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. May Lord Madhusudana, who carries a bow very fearful for the demons, protect me during the fifth part of the day. In the evening, may Lord Madhava, appearing as Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, protect me. And in the beginning of the night, may Lord Hrishikesha protect me. At the dead of night, in the second and third parts of night, may Lord Padmanabha alone protect me. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who bears the Srivatsa on his chest, protect me after midnight until the sky becomes pinkish. May Lord Janardana, who carries a sword in his hand, protect me at the end of the night, during the last four ghatikas of night. May Lord Damodar protect me in the early morning, and may Lord Vishveshwara protect me during the junctions of day and night. Set into motion by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and wandering in all the four directions, the disc of the Supreme Lord has sharp edges as destructive as fire, as the fire of devastation at the end of the millennium. As a blazing fire burns dry grass to ashes with the assistance of the breeze, may that Sudarshan Chakra burn our enemies to ashes. O club in the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you produce sparks of fire as powerful as thunderbolts, and you are extremely dear to the Lord. I am also his servant. Therefore, kindly help me to pound to pieces the evil living beings known as Kushmandas, Vainayakas, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Bhutas, and Grahas. Please pulverize them. O best of conchels, O Panchajanya, in the hands of the Lord, you are always filled with the breath of Lord Krishna. Therefore, you create a fearful sound vibration that causes trembling in the hearts of enemies like the Rakshasas, Pramatha ghosts, Pretas, Matas, Pishachas, and Brahmana ghosts with fearful eyes. O King of sharp-edged swords, you are engaged by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please cut the soldiers of my enemies to pieces. Please cut them to pieces. O shield, marked with 100 brilliant moonlight circles, please cover the eyes of the sinful enemies. Pluck out their sinful eyes. May the glorification of the transcendental name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead protect us from the influence of bad planets, meteors, envious human beings, serpents, scorpions, and animals like tigers and wolves. May it protect us from ghosts and the material elements like earth, water, fire, and air, and may it also protect us from lightning and our past sins. We are always afraid of these hindrances to our auspicious life. Therefore, may they all be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Lord Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is the most worshipable Lord, for he is as powerful as the Supreme Lord himself. He is the personified Vedas and is worshipped by selected verses. May he protect us from all dangerous conditions. And may Lord Vishvaksena, the Personality of Godhead, also protect us from all dangers by his holy names. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead's holy names, his transcendental forms, his carriers, and all the weapons decorating him as personal associates protect our intelligent senses, mind, and life air from all dangers. Purport. There are various associates of the Transcendental Personality of Godhead, and his weapons and carrier are among them. In the spiritual world, nothing is material. The sword, bow, club, disc, and everything decorating the personality of body of the Lord are spiritual living force. Therefore, the Lord is called Advaya Jnana, indicating that there is no difference between him and his names, forms, qualities, weapons, and so on. Anything pertaining to him is in the same category of spiritual existence. They are all engaged in the service of the Lord in varieties of spiritual forms. Many forms of the Lord and his associates are invoked in this Narayana Kavacha. Kavacha means an armor which is for protection. But this is not the kind of armor that one will put in. Have you seen in museums, or at least in pictures, armor the soldiers in medieval Europe used to wear? This metal, like a metal coat, so that they could not be pierced by weapons. Not pierced is one thing, and also if they hit by a club, that would... It's a protection from various kind of weapons. So this Narayana Kavacha is a mystic invocation by which one cannot be affected by various weapons and by various enemies. And moreover, it's a prayer by which the enemies will be smashed, crushed, their eyes plucked out, and all kinds of nasty things which people want to do to enemies. So these are also described here. But it's a mystic invocation. Such things are possible. Now, nowadays, such forms of warfare are not known in human society. Sometimes it's claimed that the description of the Mahabharata war, in which the fighting was with bows and arrows, it must have been quite primitive, but actually it was highly sophisticated. Even today in India, you can see people with bows and arrows. You haven't seen, is it? No, in the cities you won't see them, except in a Ram Leela drama. That you'll see. You'll see in the Ram Leela drama. But that's not real bows and arrows. But you'll still see. I've seen in the area of Mayapur, what are called Adivasis. It's a bogus term, actually. But the tribal people, the Adivasis, all the people of India are Adivasis, pretty much. Anyway, I won't get into that now. But they're just wandering or going around in a group with just clothed in a kopin, just enough to cover their genital, and going with bows and arrows, I guess looking for rabbits or something to shoot and eat. So that may seem to be a very primitive form of warfare. But in the Mahabharata times, the arrows, especially certain arrows, they were fortified by mantra, or rather, not exactly, they were the vehicle for delivering a mantra that by the impact that would kill a person, specifically kill persons, or even that the mantra itself was so much charged the arrow that the arrow, once released, would have to do a specific purpose, just like Bhishma had kept five arrows, which were each one was charged with a mantra for killing one each of the Pandava brothers. So once they were released, there was nothing that could stop that, except, of course, Krishna. A higher power, higher mystic power could stop that. When the Mahabharata war was over, Krishna told Arjuna to get off the chariot. So they both got off, and then the whole chariot burned. And Arjuna wondered, how did that happen? And Krishna said that so many arrows have been directed at this chariot, which were meant to destroy it, but by my power I checked the power of those mantras, but anyway, the power of those mantras should be released, so that's what happened. They all burned up. Krishna just held it in, held it for the for that moment when the battle was over. So Krishna is the highest power. Rakhe Krishna Marike, Mare Krishna Rakhe. If Krishna wants to protect us, no one can kill us. And if Krishna wants to kill us, no one can protect us, because he is the highest power. So Krishna is being invoked in this Narayana Kavacha to protect in all possible ways that could be thought of. It's similar in some ways to Hiranyakashipu asking for boons. Hiranyakashipu asks that for the boon from Lord Brahma, that I cannot be killed in the day or the night or inside or outside or in the sky or in the air or on the water by any man or by any beast. And in so many ways he asked for so many, to cover up all possibilities, so he thought. But he was not quite intelligent enough, because he couldn't estimate the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to find a way in which he could, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as Lord Nrsimhadev, found a way to, although he didn't need to, but nevertheless he did, he fulfilled all the conditions of the boon of Lord Brahma while at the same time killing Hiranyakashipu. He came in a form which was neither an animal form nor a man form. He killed that he should not be killed on the sky or the land or the air. Then Hiranyakashipu was on the lap of Lord Nrsimhadev. That he could not be killed in the day or the night, so he was killed in the dusk, where it's neither exactly day nor night. That he could not be killed in the sky or the land or the air, that was true also, because he was killed on the lap of Lord Nrsimhadev. That he could not be killed by any weapon, that was also maintained, because he was killed by the what's that? Tavakara Kamalavare Nakham, by the nails of Lord Nrsimhadev. So in this way, Lord Nrsimhadev, he was more powerful, more intelligent, so better to seek his shelter, which is being done here in all ways, invoking the power of the Lord and invoking the power of the Lord and his associates to destroy all enemies. Of course, Vaishnavas don't have any enemies. At least we don't cultivate. Vaishnav doesn't cultivate enemies. He's not envious of anyone. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. A devotee by nature doesn't have any enmity toward anyone or any bad feeling to anyone. And he's naturally friendly and kind to all. These words were spoken, of course, by Lord Krishna to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra as he was inciting Arjuna to go and kill the other party, which Arjuna didn't want to do because he was advaishta sarva bhutana maitra karuna evacha, because he had the qualities of a pure Vaishnava. He intrinsically, he had no bad feeling toward anyone. But in this world, it is sometimes necessary to appear as if inimical to others, or to act in a way to counter their dvish, their bad feeling, their amitrata, their unfriendliness, and their lack of mercy to others. So that is a necessity in the material world. For instance, if any state was to declare, well, you can just see that if the police go on strike, it happens from time to time, then immediately in this country there's rioting and looting, right? Didn't happen in Japan recently. I was surprised, the people. There was a state of disorder caused by a natural disaster, but rioting and looting didn't take place, and it seemed that the American press expressed surprise at that. People had the opportunity to take advantage of the breakdown of law and order to do pilfering and burglary and stealing, but they didn't do it. But in this country, well, in New Orleans, that happened, right, when the law and order broke down due to a natural disaster, and then immediately there was looting going on. So what should you do in such a case? Or if you declare that from now on we believe in complete non-violence, wouldn't it be wonderful? I mean, it would be really good if the state tended toward that. In one sense, it would be good. But on the other hand, then people would take advantage. Certain bad elements would take advantage. So the bad elements require to be kept in order by violence or the threat of violence. And if they become overly bold, then they require to be crushed militarily or opposed militarily. That's just the law of this world. However nice we may like to be, it is a fact that there will always be some people of bad disposition who will take advantage of that to exploit others. Therefore, it is required that some good people act in a manner which might seem wholly inconsistent with the behavior of saintly people by being violent and going so far as to kill others. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wanted to be a saintly person by not fighting. Krishna told him to be a saintly person by fighting. Because in some circumstances, if you don't do that which appears to be against the nature of a saintly person, that would be a wrong action. Just like if you... just to give an example, if you see... if an adult sees an older child bullying a younger child, then the duty of the adult is to intervene and by force, if necessary, prevent the older child from bullying and beating the younger child. Of course, with the laws being so strange in this country, you probably want to run away and not get involved because you might get a child abuse case or something like that against you. But, I mean, that's just in normal society. And really, where was that? In San Diego, I was accused of America bashing. But it's not really America bashing. It's just pointing out the fact that this society in America at the present time is extremely abnormal from the perspective of dharma. It's a very, very strange society. In fact, it's quite predictable that in future, if people do become more sane, which is only possible by the mercy of this Hare Krishna movement, that they will look back and think, what a strange bunch of people they were. And we're looking here now and thinking, what a strange bunch of people they are. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we've been saved from that strangeness and have come to the sane life. So, Krishna is being invoked here in various ways, and his associates, for protection and the ability to quell and subdue others who should be subdued. It is the duty of a certain class of people in society to be trained so as to be expert in fighting so that they can subdue others, which includes some things which may not appear to be very nice, but which are necessary. Anyway, we see here that toward the end of this prayer or this invocation, that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is being invoked. Of course, well, actually, the name of the Supreme Lord is being invoked. And Srila Prabhupada, putting that into the modern context, states by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is in verse 28. Srila Prabhupada writes, may they, that means all various bad influences, be completely destroyed by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in the verse itself, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not directly stated, but Srila Prabhupada, putting that into the context of us here now in this Kali Yuga, in the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, understand the chanting of the, by his mercy, we understand the chanting of the holy name to particularly refer to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which also brings us to the point that it's not necessary for us to invoke this Narayana Kavacha. We could chant it every day. There would be no harm. It was Srimad Bhagavatam. But it's not necessary. Actually, there's one letter from Srila Prabhupada to Jayapataka Maharaj, in which Srila Prabhupada wrote that it's not necessary for you to chant, I can't remember, it was Nrsingha Kavacha, I believe it was Nrsingha Kavacha. Srila Prabhupada said, you just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. That will give all protection. So, in one sense, there's no harm to chant these various mantras. They're all Vedic mantras, Vaishnava mantras, but everything is complete by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahilam e Maha Mantra. Eha japa gya shabe kari nibandha. Eha hoite sarva siddhi hoibe shabha sarva khan kahanam vidhinahya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that I have said, he said the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then he said, what I just said, that is called the Maha Mantra. Because we can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moving in a society in which many mantras were extant. Many people would chant many various mantras. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is the Maha Mantra. And everyone should chant this and also follow the rules and regulations. And from the chanting of this, sarva siddhi hoibe shobha, everyone can achieve all perfection. Therefore, everyone should chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, not worry about other processes. So, there are many other things we could do. Kavacha, this has become quite popular in our society, that people wear this some Nrsingha Kavacha on the neck beads. Although traditionally the Tulsi beads, that only the Tulsi beads, nothing else is put there. Kavacha is worn actually on the arm. If it's, and that's described, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in before taking sannyas, after taking sannyas, you may not retain such things. But he also had, and Krishna also had. So that's part of the tradition to wear a kavach or to wear some sacred item. But even if we don't do that, everything is complete by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, having Tulsi neck beads, and having Gopi Chandan, or generally we wear Gopi Chandan, tilak made from Gopi Chandan, with the mantras Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha. So otherwise there are many, many processes which we could undertake in Vedic processes, Vedic tantric processes, not bad tantric processes, for protection, purification, remembrance of the Lord. There are many, many, many things that can be done. Some of them are more recommended than others. Particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended 5 processes, that Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavat Shravan Mathura Vas Shraddhai Shri Murtir Shevan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended 5 processes above all others: associating with devotees, chanting the names of Krishna, hearing the Bhagavatam, living in Mathura, and with faith worshipping the deity of Krishna. But even if we cannot perform all these processes, just like, for instance, we are not physically, you could say, living in Mathura. We're not living there. Although, to live in the temple or in the community of the where the deity of Krishna is worshipped, that is in one sense as good as living in Mathura. But in another sense, not. Because if we live in Vrindavan, even despite the modern commercialization, it's still very much, the atmosphere is very much Krishna-centered. Whereas if we go outside here, outside Watsika Avenue, and it's very much not Krishna-centered, in case you hadn't noticed. So it's not possible, it may not be possible for us to perform all the activities, but we can, should, and must perform the activity of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And thank you very much for Bhavanabhata Prabhu for leading ecstatic Mangalarti Kirtan and Guru Puja Kirtan. Thank you. Appreciate it. And my time's up. So, Hare Krishna. There's a question.
Hi, Ramaraj. You mentioned about the fact that in Japan, the natural disaster, there was actually very little looting.
There was very little.
Yeah. So, on further investigation, it was found that one reason why it didn't happen is because the local mafia,
had taken it over.
They took up the challenge of protecting the business district, especially because that's their turf.
The local mafia wanted the local business to revive, so that it's a protection racket, is
right.
It? Okay. I only read the headlines. I don't usually read the what's inside it. Here's an interesting kind of related story. That at our we have a temple in Dhaka in Bangladesh, which is a Muslim majority country. So on Janmashtami, we distribute Khichdi Prasadam, and thousands of people come. And the local gundas, which is the equivalent of mafia, they organize the crowd control and everything, and because they're, you know, narrow streets with thousands of people coming, they take it up, and they let it be known that this is our temple, and no one's going to cause any trouble here in case any, you know, like fanatical Muslims might want to do so. That's nice, isn't it?
Thank you, Maharaj. People who are not familiar with the Vedas and hear about many different wars happening will question and say that what would make your wars or your descriptions of fighting justified or divine or authorized in comparison to the ones that they are familiar, like the Crusades, the Muslims fighting.
Yeah, very good question. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita, it could be compared to Krishna inciting Arjuna to fight, could be compared to the jihad of the Muslims, which is, of course, among Muslims, is not. I don't know exactly in the Muslim culture what everyone's thinking, but I mean, that is considered sacred. It's considered sacred to fight for the sake of Islam. And that's what Krishna incited Arjuna to fight also, for the sake of Dharma. The Crusades were also, and the Inquisition, for that matter, they were all in the name of God, for the sake of religion. So that's one of the accusations against religion, that religion causes so many wars. Well, of course, Krishna, he explained to Arjuna the principles of Dharma. And obvious, I mean, unless we're going to be completely atheistic, which isn't a very tenable position, then definitely there is going to be a struggle between good and bad, that which is higher and that which is lower. Actually, Krishna didn't incite Arjuna to fight for the sake of you have to protect our religion against this other religion or kill these other religious people. It wasn't in that sense, it was for the sake of dharma, but the Kurukshetra war, but it wasn't in what modern terms would be considered a religious war. It wasn't Christians against Muslims or... of course, the Pandavas, they were Vaishnavas, and Duryodhana and company, they were not. But the issue was over the illegal usurpation of the throne by Duryodhana. That was the issue. And in India, there hasn't been a history of such kind of fighting, except in some rare cases there has been. But organized wars on the basis of religious belief hasn't been there. In fact, the whole concept of religious belief is far more prominent in the West. Whereas Bhagavad Gita is more, it's aimed at convincing Arjuna of what is right and what is wrong. It's not just a matter of just believe this or go to hell. It's a completely different concept, actually. I don't think it's even comparable. That violence is required to subdue persons who would otherwise be violent for wrong purposes is not comparable to fanatical, blind faith by which people go and kill others for the sake of establishing one doctrine over another. It's not comparable. That's my brief answer to that question, although it could be investigated much further. You could do a PhD thesis on it if you want. It's such a complex subject. Could be such a complex discussion.
Also in the beginning, you said that Krishna didn't want the war to happen.
Krishna didn't want the war to happen in one sense. In another sense, he did want it to happen. Yeah. The Kurukshetra war. And Krishna comes to this world, he says himself, Vinashayata Dushkritam, to kill all the... or to destroy the bad people. So if they were prepared to... if Duryodhana had said, oh, okay, I'm sorry I've been such a jerk, all right, let's be good now, then the matter would have been settled. But it was understood that Duryodhana wasn't going to do that. He was firmly fixed in his... he was firmly fixed in his wrong determination. So... therefore, the war, Krishna did want the war. In one sense, Krishna didn't want the war. He doesn't want anyone to be bad. But on the other hand, if they insist on acting wrongly and maintaining a wrong position, then the war was required. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada.